brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, yes, it's sippin' time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
That's because we're not on at 1.
That's true.
They moved Hee-Haw, so we're good.
If we were on at 1, we'd be the best thing on
I don't think I've seen Hee-Haw in 40 years. Where are you watching Hee-Haw?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Like everything.
Reruns.
Oh, well, if you go on cable, then they sell like reruns the whole thing on DVDs, show. Like all of them.
Hand me that.
Love reruns.
You just hook up an antenna to your TV, you're going to get like 60 stations.
Mm-hmm. What's an antenna?
Exactly.
What is that?
An antenna?
Yeah.
It's what you have left after you cut the cord. I mean, we should
be cutting the cord from the cable, too. It should be all just Ethernet.
Well, it's not like he watches TV. He just sits in the basement corner just playing with his toys anyway. So what's the difference?
I like the Apple TV Plus, man. There's some good shows. Slow Horses is amazing.
Wait, he doesn't have any toys. I thought he plays with himself.
He sleeps under the porch because he doesn't have sweat glands. Oh. So, well, this is Made Man Bob. And joining me are Made Man Brent.
Torture in the basement today.
Mm-hmm. And Made Man Maury.
I'm excited. It's going to be deep today. I wore my thigh-high wellies.
And good old boy, Justin.
It's going to be fantastic today, boys and girls.
And Harm, who's been watching too much HGTV because apparently he has to arrange everything on the table.
Well, I'm trying to take pictures, man. I could do banter or I could just post to Facebook.
How about you focus on the microphone and worry about pictures later?
I'm talking straight into the microphone, baby.
Yeah, okay.
And by the way, thank you, Bob, for having me because today I actually mean it.
This, yeah, exactly.
This is a good show.
See,
this is the good one.
All right, kiss the ring.
Kiss the ring.
Kiss the ring. You can kiss the ring. It's fine.
Give me that bottle, please, Brian.
Yeah. Well, this is a pretty good day. So our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and pretty much anything else you can sip. And here are the whiskeys we're going to be discussing today. So we have from Balvenie, the Balvenie French Oak 16-year-old single malt whiskey. From Glendronach, one of our favorites. We have the Batch 12 Cask Strength Glendronach. Justin's favorite guy. And from Old Putney, we've got the 12-year-old, the Old Putney 15, the Old Putney 18, and the Old Putney 25. Again.
Yeah, right.
The Old Putney Huddart. And from Ardbeg, we have the Ardbeg Heavy Vapors. So strap yourself in, kids. We're in for a bumpy ride. So
it's not going to be good.
Oh, it's going to be great.
No, it's not going to be good.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Not only is it going to taste great, but we get to watch Brent. So it's twice as much fun. Oh, I can't wait. All right. So we're going to have Justin tell us all about our sips ratings.
Oh, yeah. This is Randy, the Macho Man Savage, coming at you. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Ganga Din, water. Ganga Din, drink water. Drink water.
Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Hold on. Our system crashed. There you go.
Interesting.
With a voice like that, of course it would. Mm-hmm.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Five sips. Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness!
Yes! 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 Yes!
Mm,
Yeah, I didn't buy it. I didn't buy it. Not buy it for a second.
We had a Scottish guy who was going to do AI, but it kept coming up syntax error. So Randy came.
Yeah, no, I'm not buying it. So, all right, well, let's move on to our first whiskey, and we're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Thank you, Bob. The first whiskey today will be the Balvenie French Oak, 16-year-old, 95 proof, 47.5% ABV. This is the first of the Balvenie finishes to explore French oak. The Balvenie French Oak takes Balvenie single malt whiskey, which was initially matured in American oak casks, and finishes it in French oak casks that previously held wine from the French Charente vineyards.
Pinot de Charente.
Thank you. Pinot de Charente is a fortified wine made from unfermented grape juice in which a cognac, eau de vie, is added and then matured. The Balvenie USA brand ambassador, Lauren Cousins, suggested maltmaster David C. Stewart, MBE, explore these casks after a trip to the region with his family where he fondly remembers sipping the aperitif.
Nobody asks for Pinot de Charente except for French Canadians. I sell two of them and only when the snowbirds are in town. It's a weird thing.
What is it?
It's not cognac. It's basically cognac and the wine that cognac is made from, the
eau de vie.
Well, it's not the eau de vie. It's as you're right. It's the eau de vie, not the cognac. It's not been aged properly. It's the brandy that they made before it's been aged to be called cognac, and the wine. It's what are the grapes in cognac? Colombard and Folle Blanche and something else. I can't remember off the top of my head. But the wine before it was distilled. And the distillate got mixed together and by accident one time, and that became an aperitif called Pinot de Charente. So it's weird. It's a niche product.
There are many French Canadians in town right now in South Florida. So
you're right, Maury. He never interrupts you a lot. You're right. He never interrupts you.
Just go to any of the county parks.
But the Caribbean cask finish was the thing that really made this nice too.
Yes. Okay. Well, in any event, that's where it was matured. The Balvenie brand ambassador had suggested this, and he drinks it, and he thought that this release will now become the first permanent addition to the Balvenie cask finish range since 2013, when the Caribbean cask finish was first introduced. So, this expression is extremely light in color. It's a very, very pale straw color. On the nose, it's very floral. There's lots of flowers on the nose, hints of grass, and even a little bit of apple skin.
I get full-on apple, baby. It's not just the skin. But you get
the full-on apple. My apple, I found the apple blew off early.
Is it red or green? That's what I can't figure out.
For me, it was red. I didn't really get a lot of green apple. On the palate, it's definitely tangy. It's citrusy. There's lemon rind. There's some grapefruit. There's some glazed fruit. There's a little spice. There's even a little hint of ginger. And then the finish is pleasant and nice and medium. This is a pleasant wine. This is a pleasant whiskey. It was very interesting. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was bright. I thought it was fresh.
It's Balvenie.
Yeah.
It's Balvenie.
Not a 40-year-old, though.
That's all you need to know. Well,
yeah, but it's different than most Balvenies. I mean, I love everything they make.
I sold all my 40-year-old, man. I've tried to ask them for more. There's nothing left in the state. Yeah.
I mean, Balvenie is classic. I mean, they're one of the few distilleries that does their own malting of barley. Most people are buying the barley already malted. They've got the malting floor. You can tour it. It's amazing. It's an amazing place.
Well, it's some of it. A portion of the barley they malt.
It's smaller production than Glenfiddich owns.
Yeah, from the top of the hill, it's a giant factory, but Balvenie is still just...
It's their niche product.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's the point. Of course, they don't malt every last ounce of their barley, but they do malt barley, which is more than most places can say.
Almost nobody does.
Nobody's malting their own barley.
Yeah, they actually try, you know.
Well, you've got the small distilleries on Isla that might do, like Kilhoman malts 100% of its barley, but they're so tiny. You know, all these tiny producers are different.
Correct.
Balvenie makes so much more.
But this is a lovely whiskey. I thought it was a little more on the feminine style. It's not very masculine. It's not very powerful. It's got finesse. It's got style. It's got grace.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I thought it was lovely. Harm, what'd you think?
I agree with everything you said for some reason.
Oh, my God. I'm going to fall over.
One thing, though, I did get on the nose that you didn't get was brioche. Getting a little bit of brioche with the apple.
Oh, I did get it. I just wanted to leave you something to say.
God, it's so good. The flowers, I can't identify them, but they're just, they're earthy.
They're geraniums.
Okay, they're geraniums. I don't know what geraniums smell like. They're earthy and they're gorgeous. And on the palate, I got a little more malt than you did. I got a little hint of light orange and I got violet on the palate. But it just goes on forever. Even though it's light and feminine, the finish is long. Justin, what'd you think?
So on the nose, I got some pledge, and in a good way.
Lemon pledge.
And then
you were hopping out as a kid, were you?
No doubt. Statute of limitations is run on that. And then on the palate, I got like some lemon, vanilla, and then I got beets.
That's what the heck?
What?
I got beets.
Roasted, boiled, how? Borscht?
Borscht. Like beet soup.
You are so weird.
Yeah, he's weird.
But no, you maybe not, because there's no earthy.
That's what I got.
We both got this earthy component, right? The violets are earthy.
Yeah.
Geraniums, I guess, are earthy.
I mean, that's what good borscht, Maury called out. Not yeah. bad borscht.
So maybe that earthy, I don't know, man. You're hanging out with Russians.
Maybe we should bring this to the borscht belt
yeah.
and go spend the weekend.
I'm half Russian and half Austrian, so it kind of makes sense.
So what else you got?
So,
but you freaked me out with the beets.
It was very tangy, and I definitely got like some root beer mixed in with the beets.
Now you're on crack.
And, roots. The finish was
roots.
Long.
I could see beet is a root vegetable, but you had me at roots. Root beer, you lost me.
Like good root beer from Vegas that they brew like beer, but no alcohol. It's like what's it, Queens Hotel? Really good. So, yeah. What'd you think, Brent?
Yeah, I mean, on the nose, I got dandelions and apples is what I picked up on the nose.
I like the dandelion note. That's good.
You know, dandelions are quite healthy. They can cure cancer.
Oh, that's a great
tasty
thing,
the greens.
Yeah, so, you know, but we'll be back and tell you about this after the break.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and Brent was just finishing up his thoughts on the Balvenie French Oak. What'd you think?
Yeah, on the palate, you know, I got some of those fruit notes that everybody else got and stuff, and you know, it's one of those things I enjoyed. It's not a Balvenie 40, but I enjoyed it still.
Nothing's
the same.
Nothing's a Balvenie 40.
No, nothing. You just can't hold on to that.
But
you can't hold on to it. You're never going to have anything good again.
I have to hold on to it.
The secondary on Balvenie 40 is 10 grand now.
That's not a shock.
Yeah, well, I believe me, if I had the means, yeah, I'd definitely have one. But
so, what do you think about the 16, Bob?
I think it's fantastic. I agree, it's a very feminine sort of blend, but it's just so well done, like everything they do, and figuring the cast that they got this from, this is not the flavor I thought that they would get out of it. So, it just shows...
Well, Pinot de Charente is quite floral, but this doesn't have that cognac note at all.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't have that
apricot and spice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any open bottles of Pinot de Charente at your store?
I've sold almost all of them. I'm not sure if I have anything left. But
both of them?
Is it expensive? Yes, yeah.
No, I sell two different brands.
Is it expensive?
No, Pinot de Charente's not expensive. It's like a $30 bottle of wine.
Well... We're going to be rating the Balvenie French Oak 16-year-old 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that takes us on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Justin tell us about that one.
So now we get to talk about Glendronach Cask Strength Batch 12. 58.2% alcohol by volume, or 116.4 proof. Glendronach was established by founder James Allardyce in 1826 as one of Scotland's earliest licensed distilleries. Currently owned by Brown-Forman, this 12th edition of Cask Strength Expression was expertly crafted by master blender Rachel Berry from a marriage of Pedro Jimenez and Oloroso Sherry Casks.
She is amazing. Everything she touches is magic.
She's my hero.
This is a beautiful light brown color.
It's bronze.
And there's like a mochaccino and a cappuccino that got married with some orange rind and some beautiful fruit. A little bit of the cherry, Luxardo cherry juice you get when you drink the end of the jar after you ate all the cherries out. Yeah, I'm that
guy. I put
it
in my Diet Coke. I love that cherry juice.
That's a great idea.
It's so good.
It's pure sugar. He's putting it in the Diet Coke.
That's a diabetic coma.
Put it in the regular Coke.
So I'm diabetic, but I will occasionally put some Luxardo syrup in my Diet Coke. Just so, you know,
I don't know why you're using, Diet Coke? Why don't you just put it in regular Coke?
Yeah, you might as well.
Might as well just go in a coma.
It's like shooting yourself with a .22, man. Just go ahead and up it, you know?
On the palate, I got this rich, dark wood with some sweet milk chocolate or even white chocolate, really, on this one. A little bit of orange peel and ginger. And the finish is just long and complex. I love this. What did you think, Maury?
Wow. I'm not sure I'm prepared to follow that. But let me try. I thought this was delicious whiskey. I love where you're going with the creaminess on the nose and, you know, the fruit. I thought that was spot on. On the palate, I really found it to be really interesting. This orange, a little hint of almond, a little hint of crystallized ginger. There was definitely some chocolate and tiramisu notes. I thought it was a really interesting whiskey. Really fascinating. What did you think, Brent?
Yes. Interesting is the word, because it's not like something you normally pick up and just enjoy. This one is you
got to dissect it a little bit.
Yeah, you do. It's been a long time since I had a fruitcake, but that's what I got right off the bat when I was nosing this. Was like, oh my god, it brings me back to many Christmases ago somebody you didn't like would send you a fruitcake.
I got like a chocolate covered orange rind.
No, on the
there's orange and chocolate.
It's, yeah, on the
patty. Both of you got a lump of coal.
There's ginger. There's batter. There's dried fruits.
Well, no, on the palate. On the palate, you get it's like taking a bite of like an orange chocolate. Orange chocolate balls ginger, with you know, with seasoned with ginger. So you take a bite of that, and that's what you got.
We don't have enough Christmas fruitcake experience. Ginger, to comment.
Candied pears, candied cherries. It's all. It's a fruitcake. Like tastes, you said the first time, Brent. You were on the right track.
Tastes like a high end Dalmore product.
Now I know where your nickname comes from, Harm. You are a fruitcake.
Signet. I lived in New Orleans, and we had these fruitcakes made by these monks. That people would go all over the country would buy these cakes from these monks. That's the kind of this is the good fruit cake. It's not the cake you give to your relatives that gets passed around year after year.
Claxton's
you want.
Claxton's. You get it one year, it gets passed to somebody else the next year.
Regifted. That's the same fruit cake. It's been regifted for the last 30 years.
There's only one. Exactly. It just travels around the world.
There's only one fruit cake.
It's in Albania this month, in case you were wondering.
Right. Is that from Hitchhiker's Guide from the Galaxy, too? Is that just one fruit cake in the entire universe?
Right.
It's just so delicious, though.
Yeah. Well, this is beautiful.
It's just, I mean, like you thought it was not going to be. I mean, it's like we've been very fortunate to have the last several of the cask strengths from Glendronach, and this is really the first project that Rachel did when she took over from Brown-Forman.
Her first project was 3 years of getting rid of all the bad casks.
Yeah, but this was the first brand that she turned.
Yeah, right.
and has never looked back. And I have a small, I have one of these small ones like this that I got her to sign for me when she was in Miami, and tried not to completely fanboy and Wayne Worlds on her.
And you just failed. You
know, I completely failed. I probably creeped her out. I don't know. But yeah, it was just, she's an absolute genius. She's never missed, not on anything I've ever had. And this is an absolutely fantastic whiskey.
I got to geek out with her that day, too. It was great.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. It's just so good. So we're going to be rating the Glendronach Cask Strength Batch Number 12, 4 sips.
That's classified.
So let's have Brent tell us about our next whiskey.
I can't wait to mess up these names. First off, Old Pulteney.
It's pronounced Pulteney. Spelled Pulteney.
Yeah. So that's what we're working. So the Pulteney Distillery was established in Wick in 1826 by James Henderson and continued operations for nearly a century until it was sold to James Watson and Company.
You got the names good so far.
Well,
Henderson, Watson, you're all right.
A Dundee blending house in 1920. So Watson's was first acquired by John Dewar and Sons, and in 1925 became part of the distillery's company. Wick imposed prohibition in 1930, causing the distillery to close, and the town remained dry until 1947. Yeah, it's a bad thing, you know? It's like what happened over here, you know?
So, I'd leave. I'd move.
Yeah, the distillery reopened in 1951 under the ownership of attorney Bertie Cumming, the owner of Balbaire Distillery.
Paul Blair.
Yeah, see? I told you I was going to mess that one up. No, you pronounce the L there, and you don't in this one. You know, that's...
Keep going.
Yeah, so Hiram Walker and Sons purchased Pulteney in 1955. They renovated the facility in 1958 and 59, and then closed the floor maltings at the time. In 1961, Pulteney was again sold, and this time to Allied Breweries, which became Allied...
Dominique.
Yeah, who used the whiskey in their blends. They also sold casks to Gordon and McFain.
He just misspelled that.
Yeah, sorry.
Who sold the whiskey as an 8-year-old single malt. Allied operated the distillery until it was sold to Inverhouse Distilleries in 1995, who bottled the whiskey as a single malt brand. So what we have here is the Old Pulteney 12-year-old single malt whiskey. It's 40% ABV, 80 proof. This expression is matured in air-dried, hand-selected ex-bourbon casks. Very common thing. The color is a dark straw, kind of going towards brown. On the nose, you get vanilla. You get this vanilla and you get oats. So you pick up the vanilla and oats, and then on the palate, it's just a smoothness. You get this right off the bat. You get this if you had salt water that was tamed down and smoothed out, you know, like a really light salt water, you get that with
you
some.
You don't get any lemon on this? I get a little citrusy. Hold on,
I'm not done with it.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I get that right off the bat, that little saltiness, and then I get some, it's like a chocolate peanut. A little bit of citrus there.
The lemon citrus. I like the way he enunciated that properly.
You know,
chocolate and
some peanut. Chocolate. The first time he pronounced a T.
A chocolate what? And,
so, and
disappointing your fans. Go ahead.
Right, and so it's. I love this expression. This one here, I was very happy with. I think it's the right proof for it. Easy drinker.
At 40 proof, I think is too low for it.
Well, I agree with Harm.
You know, just a nice, easy drink.
It's entry level. This is your everyday scotch sipper. It's an introduction to the line. It's beautifully done. It's well made. There's nothing wrong with it.
Except the proof is too low.
But it's uninspiring. it needs a little bit more proof. I think the little more proof would turn the flavor up by a couple notches. There's nothing inherently wrong with it. It's beautifully made. But we'd like to see a little more.
Yeah. Justin?
So I'm wearing this as cologne right now, and I expect to have a positive result later.
Yes, get all the chicks, baby.
A positive result later. I got honey bunches of oats, and then a very delicate, like, Asian honeydew melon thing going on before I get the light salt finish.
I don't get that melon at all.
Asian honeydew melon.
Like an Asian honeydew melon. Yeah, like like when you get the honeydew melon cake from the Asian store and you eat that, you get that.
Never had one.
I think this punch is way above its weight. Now, I agree 80 proof's a little low, but if you just put a lot of it in your mouth and drink it fast, it almost tastes like 85 proof.
Nobody put water in it.
This is delicious. Right? I wouldn't put water in it. It's already got enough water.
I put water in it.
Did you? Did it help it?
I
put water in it.
I don't know that it helped it. I think it it really brought the salt forward to it for me. So
I like that. I like that that honeydew note from he's talking about now, because I didn't until he said
not any honeydew, Japanese honeydew.
Japanese honeydew. But I got some citrus, and you didn't get any citrus.
No, I said I got a little bit of a lemon.
Yeah, okay.
A little bit of lemon citrus on there.
All right. Bob, what'd you think?
Again, honeycomb, citrus. It's extremely well made, very well put together.
That cereal note's good too. Like we say, he said, what'd you call it? Honey bunches of oats. Yeah, that was a good note too.
Yeah. Or what was the other one? Honeycomb with sugar bear?
Yeah.
Honeycomb cereal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's cereal notes there.
I mean, again, I always, you know, so many scotches come in at 80. I prefer higher proof. I'm an American.
Too, but I see where Brett's going. It's still good.
It's great.
There's a lot of 80 proof ones that are disappointing. This is not disappointing.
Oh, no, not disappointing at all.
You need to drink a lot of it at once.
Yeah,
like a couple of ounces just per pour.
Fill your mouth with it.
I think he's onto something.
Won't get enough flavor.
Maybe we should try that. Maybe we should like drive a motorcycle really fast while drinking it really fast, and it would speed up, and we'd go back in time.
Drink more. That's
well, we're going to be rating the Old Putney 12-year-old single malt. Well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
So let's go on to our 15. We're going to have Harm tell us about that.
All right. Thanks, Bob. The Old Putney 15-year-old single malt whiskey is 46% ABV or 92 proof. It is an expression that's aged in second-fill bourbon barrels and finished in first-fill Oloroso sherry butts. The color is a dark mahogany. This is the darkest whiskey at the table.
Dark.
I am the darkest man at the table. So I'm doing this.
I don't see color.
Gorgeous.
Me either, you racist.
But I smell this. Oh, my God. This is an orange peel bomb. So Oloroso sherry, generally you get red fruits, but here I'm getting this orange. I'm getting orange peel and fennel and leather and vanilla. And adding water gave me caramelized apple.
You have to add the water to this one.
Yeah,
this
water. Water brought caramel apple.
I didn't add water, but I will try it.
Yeah, this was must add water. I underlined it twice.
Yeah. The water brought out candied cherries as well, but that took air as well. So on the palate, my first note says orange push pop. Remember those push pops? Yeah. Orange vanilla push pops, and then cherry and what's that? I can't read that. Licorice. That's to say, and the finish is long. Mouth coating, great mouth feel. It just covers every part of your palate. It's silky. It's not velvety. It's just silky, just smooth and beautiful with tons of fruit. And it just goes on forever and ever. I freaking love this whiskey. Bob, what do you think?
If you don't like this whiskey, you can get out of my damn basement. That's all I'm telling you.
Sorry, Brent. Nice seeing you.
I'm staying because...
I mean, just the nose on this thing is just so rich, and just the sherry note on it.
Luscious.
Just, you could cut it with a knife. I mean, it's just beautiful on the nose, but on the palate.
That orange or nectarine, it's gorgeous.
There's that beautiful, beautiful orange note. You're getting some of that. I get some of the nuttiness out of the sherry. It's just so well done. I mean, just so well done. I mean, I don't think I could improve on this if I tried. What do the rest of you guys think?
Yeah, so I have orange caramel apple.
Mm-hmm.
An orange caramel apple. That's what I have.
But the caramel apple didn't come out till I put the water in.
Yeah. That's what I wrote on here. Must add water. Because I was a little underwhelmed at first before I added the water. But after that, it's one of my favorites today.
Honestly, I loved it before the water. I loved it more and equally, but differently after the water.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
It was different with the water. I won't say it was better. It was different. But both ways, it was fantastic.
And look how
I always knew you went both ways,
Bob. You can tell there's no chill filtration here. Look how cloudy it gets with just a little bit of water. This is it's oily. It's
but the the color on this is just fantastic. I mean, it's just it's so dark.
I got the silkiness that Harmeet got, and then I got mango lassi and camel unfiltered menthol.
You are broken inside. First off, it's mango lassi.
Oh, thank you.
Lassie is a dog. Lassie is the drink.
I appreciate that. And
I will give you the mango, but the menthol is cigarettes.
At the end. Yeah, camel unfiltered menthol. It's
all
subtle.
All right. Just say the right thing. Say the thing I want you to say.
Your soul is so damaged.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anybody else get menthol?
These are my childhood memories.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Keeping in mind, he was kept in a box until he was 17. So
more or less,
a box in the basement.
I'll give you the mango.
Actually, I was left to wander the streets at will. There was no keeping me in a box. I don't have helicopter parents.
Well, let's move on. So we're going to be reading the Elk Bunny, 15-year-old single malt whiskey, a well-deserved 5 sips.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
So that brings us to our next expression, which is the Old Putney 18-year-old single malt whiskey. This is also aged in second fill bourbon barrels and finished in first fill Orillas or sherry butts. The color on this is not, it's got a nice dark old penny to it. Not quite as dark as that 15, which is kind of surprising, but oh, it's got a pretty nose.
It's almost like the 15.
Yeah. I mean, it's got that oxidized sherry note to it. A little bit of brown sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Like really dark, dark honey. A little bit of cereal note in the nose.
Elegant.
This is one that did need water because there was a gap until I added water. But once I added water, it just filled out. We'll be back.
Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and I was just wrapping up my thoughts on the Old Putney 18. So what'd you think, Brett?
Okay, so for this one, I want to kind of jump ahead and jump back a little bit. This was in the middle because our next one we're going to be trying is a 25-year-old. The last one we had was a 15-year-old. This one fell out of place for me. Like, I realize there's really only differences the age, and you have the 3 years age and then the 7 year age.
But they're pretty much the same. They're
pretty much kind of like the same, just weighed. Yeah, just kind of. But I was, for this one to me, it was like overly peppered apples.
Like overly peppered apples.
Yeah.
As opposed to appropriately peppered apples? Correct. I don't think I've ever had appropriately peppered
exactly.
apples.
Exactly, and that is why.
I had my mom's apples.
And that is why it was out of balance for me. For me personally, it was out of balance. For everybody else, I realized it was different, but for the people that like my palate, this one just didn't hit it for me.
You know what? I'm getting a little sweet tobacco on this.
So the people that like his palate. So Bill. Okay,
only
Bill,
one person.
Don't drink it. Everybody else?
Fine. Everybody else drink it. I don't care. It was out of my range of what I enjoyed.
He's broken inside.
That's okay. I don't mind.
It's basically a lighter version of 15-year-old.
We can fix him. Yeah. Well, all we have to do is shock
him. It's a lighter, more elegant
version. Turn it up to 320 joules. We can shock him and reset his system. He'll be fine.
Why don't we just turn him off and turn him back on again?
Well, that's the same thing as a reboot. but I prefer the the active reboot to the passive reboot. Well,
what did you think?
I thought it was fantastic. I mean, I normally 18 is a sweet spot for me for most whiskeys, and 18 is one of my favorites of most scotches. However, in this series, the 15 was the highlight. The 15 was just angels singing, la 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 la. The 18
Those
was wonderful.
Some bad angels.
Yeah.
The 18 was wonderful.
Here. Hello, this is M12. Finally back with another video.
You hit the wrong button, didn't you?
Yeah, but I'm assuming. Excuse me. There's I'm assuming that the 18 is more costly than the 15. Yeah. But honestly, the 15 was slightly better. So for slightly better and same price or less money, I take the 15 every day over the 18.
But the 18 just keeps getting better in the glass. It let it sit.
The 18 is wonderful. Elegant. I've got nothing bad to say about the 18 is the 15 for more money. That's it. It's the 15 on steroids, more money. Yeah. But it is not worth twice the price or whatever more.
I don't even know what it costs. These whiskeys haven't been available in Florida for years.
Get the 15. Give me a price on the 18. We'll talk. Yeah, How's that?
What do you think, Justin?
So I got, usually I'm old Pulteney. I get apples, but I got peppered pears on this one.
Peppered pears. He got peppered apples.
Peter Piper
picked a peck
usually
of peppered
I get
pears.
Apples, but I got peppered pears. When I first nosed it, it had a nice wood. That faded off with time. Then I got vanilla, almonds, and cocoa. On the palate, it was sweet and fruity. And the finish was long and fruity. From someone who can't have sugar, I love this. Love it. Okay, that's it.
All right, well, let's move on. So we're going to be rating the Old Pulteney 18-year-old single malt whiskey a well-deserved 4 sips.
Are so robbing them.
I'm not.
It was bordering on 5, Harm, but honestly, for the money, would you pay the extra money over the 15?
No,
the
15
is a different animal. It's a different animal.
The 15 is...
Get the 15.
Get the 15.
All right, so look, Maury, you got the next one. Tell us about the 25. Hold on.
There's nothing to say. I summed it up in one word.
The moment the world has waited for.
Thank you, sir, for that marvelous introduction. Next, ladies, gentlemen, and those of you who don't fit in either of those categories, we will be discussing the Old Pulteney 25-year-old single malt whiskey coming in at 46% ABV. And for those who can't do basic math, 92 proof. This expression is aged in second fill bourbon barrels. There's a little bit of American bourbon in every sip. And finished in first fill Oloroso sherry butts. All I got to say is I summed it up in one word. Wow. Really one syllable. This whiskey is amazing. Not quite as dark as the 15, but it's got plenty of color. It's dark, deep mahogany. It's got an amazing nose with lots going on. The palate is just layers upon layers upon layers. You can dissect out any flavor under the sun on the palate, the viscosity, the mouthfeel. You could just smell it all day long. You can just imbibe it all day long. And the finish just goes on and on. This is as close to whiskey perfection in a glass as I've had in a long time. If you can find this bottle, and I believe it's less of a unicorn than most American bourbons.
It's under $1,000 retail. And for 25-year-old whiskey, this is worth 3 times as much.
I would agree. I think this rivals a $3,000 25-year-old Macallan.
Oh, it's better than that.
Well, like I said, we can debate whether it's equal or better, but it is certainly in the same category and can sit at the same table, and yet it's at least one third the price.
And Harmeet's going to crack one of those 25-year Macallan so I could side by side this.
Mm-hmm. I just sold my last one 2 weeks ago.
Or not.
I got more. I got to order more.
Maybe not.
Right after Christmas, that those 40-year-old Balvenies went out like that. Oh my God.
Nice. Best.
The 40-year-old.
How much?
Nice.
They're 10 grand secondary. I sold them for 7.5.
You should have made anybody that buy one
open it
before they leave.
So they don't sell it.
So they don't sell it.
Yeah. That's what I meant. Open it so you don't sell it.
He bought the 27-year-old.
I didn't mean open it so I could drink some. I meant, that's what I meant.
He also bought the 27-year-old, the Corona cask ones.
Yeah.
He came back the next day, bought the last 40-year-old and the other 27.
Okay. So
that's it.
What'd you think, Brent?
Okay, this is a bourbon lover's scotch. Absolutely love this one. I read when I thought that 18 was too old, and you know, and I really love the 15.
Some 25s are over the hill. You're right about that.
A lot of them exactly. Are. I mean,
Leonardo enjoyed, DiCaprio?
No, 18 is 25's
over the hill, man. You got to trade up.
I enjoyed the 15 so much, and then the 18, I was kind of let down a little bit.
I agree. I was expecting the 25 to be over the hill.
And then I got to the 25, I'm like, okay, well, how far down did this one go? And it went above, the 15. Way and above, you know?
Yeah,
just
blew it away.
It's just kind of like, okay, so skip that 18. Skip that 18, just move from 15 to 25. You're going to be just fine. Beautiful. Get it if you find it. It's going to be in my top 10 for the year, for sure.
I am very aroused.
So, I'm that old guy that remembers when you could buy a house for $99, but I have to say, this old Pulteney, so good. Oh, my God. Intense, dark fruit, citrus, long finish. On the nose, it was like cream of wheat, azaleas, pears. I don't know why.
Orange, licorice, sandalwood.
From apples? Old Pulteney used to be apples, but now it's pears.
There's so much going on.
So thank you for switching the fruit just to keep life interesting. So good.
Green fennel, sandalwood, lemon, orange, licorice. It just keeps coming and coming. Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is crazy.
How soon can you get this, Harm?
Creamy note?
How soon can you get this?
It's Friday.
Skip the mortgage payment by the
end. I hate to admit it. He's right. There is green fennel.
Yeah, it's all there, dude.
My fennel is always green. What about you?
Man. You can get black fennel.
I don't have any fennel at all.
Yeah. Well,
none.
I mean, to me, green fennel is redundant. It's like saying
now that you can get black fennel too.
I mean, we're recording this in January for broadcast sometime later in the year, but I'm telling you right now, I've already hit one of my candidates for best whiskey of 2024.
Yeah,
right. Without a doubt, this is just stunning. I mean,
this is definitely on the short list.
I might find something as good. I don't think I could possibly find anything better. At least, certainly nothing mortals could afford. Yeah. Yeah, so
if the bottle's missing,
I'll stab you in the eye. Well,
first you gotta catch me.
I need to take a sample home for the wife. Oh, she's gonna kill me.
I think it is. I think it's honestly. I mean, why are we even bothering? I mean, let's just be honest. It's 5 sips. I mean, 5 sips.
Oh my
Pulteney 25. If you have the means, absolutely go out and grab one of these tomorrow.
There are 25-year-old whiskeys on the shelf at my store. $1,000 all the way up to $5,000. And they're all 25 years old.
I'm not sure I've had a better 25 at any price.
Oh, my God. All right. So let's move on to our last one. Old Pulteney. And, well, completely last one. That's what I'm saying. You guys need to stop chatting. So we're going to have Justin tell us about that one quickly.
We're going to talk about Old Pulteney Hoodart Single Malt Whiskey. 46% alcohol by volume, 92 proof. Not age stated. I did not do the math. This expression was named in honor of the street where Old Pulteney Distillery is located and is finished in casks that once held peated whiskey, possibly sourced from Ancock.
No, Anik. Lord.
So the
can't take you anywhere.
The nose was sweet. I got 6th grade Elmer's elements on it and vanilla wafers. On the palate, white grapes, lime, lemon, and sea salt. On the finish, it was all cocoa, baby. What did you think, Maury?
I was thinking it was more like that finger glue rather than Elmer's. You know, the stuff paste?
Sure.
I was thinking it was more
mucilage.
Like that.
You went to a real school.
Yeah, I went to a real school. We had real glue.
Okay, fine.
But other than that, I think you had it spot on.
He didn't get a lot of glue in the box.
No.
It was fresh off the shelf, man.
Other than that, I thought you had it spot on. It was a lovely whiskey. It was light. It was refreshing. It's a complete change of pace from what we've been drinking. So if you rewind about 4 or 5 whiskeys and put it back near the Old Pulteney 12, I thought it was delicious. It was light, fresh, pleasant, enjoyable. It's not a full-bodied, in-your-face, dark, brooding whiskey like we've had in the last three, but it's delightful. Brent?
Yeah, this one has a lot of those the sea elements to it, where you have that little saltiness to it that comes.
Cut quality and character?
Yeah, in character.
See?
Carrot. You've got carrot.
Carrot. Cut quality, carrot, and character.
So
sea element. Another sea element.
Yeah, you get this.
The only bad thing about this one is when I put it in the script, I saw that it was in, you know, peated casks. And so I said, let me put this at the end.
And so, before the 15.
So this is coming in after that 25. So no matter how hard you focus, you're going to be honestly disappointed no matter what it is. But
I'm not disappointed in this, though. But I mean,
I'm not disappointed in it at all.
No, you got to change your mindset.
It's,
you got to
don't do what we did. Don't drink the old Pulteney 25 first and then drink this.
This is fantastic. And the peat is not strong at all. It's just that accompaniment. Wisp.
It's ethereal.
Yeah, it's really, really lovely. I'm digging this one. And I have a feeling that this is not expensive. So
I've got nothing to add. Give it a rating. Let's move to Lost Whiskey, dude.
Well, this is very much more feminine compared to the others, which were much more masculine.
So don't the rush old me. Pulteney Hutter single malt whiskey.
Come on.
Or is missing feminine attention.
Four sips.
That's classy for
Well, we got to give well the whiskey
deserved.
Its due.
Well deserved.
We got to give the whiskey its due.
All right, our last one, sir.
Okay, our last whiskey is Ardbeg Heavy Vapors, 46% ABV, 92 proof. Oh, thanks, guys.
We left this for you.
Okay, so Heavy Vapors was the 2023 Ardbeg Day limited release during the annual Fischeila. Yeah, that one too. This release marks the first time Ardbeg ever distilled this whiskey without a purifier. Ardbeg
on Islay.
The apparatus on the still, responsible for maintaining Ardbeg's unrivaled balance between extreme peat and floral fruitiness. So this creative experiment by Director of Whiskey Creation, Dr. Bill Lunsum, has allowed the heaviest untamed vapors to rise up to the still during the distillation process before being captured, matured, and bottled.
Let's go, Brandon.
Ardbeg's director of whiskey creator, Dr. Bill Lumsden, commented, "This experiment was something I've always imagined trying. What would happen to the flavor and character of Ardbeg as we know and love by distilling in this unique way? Well, it's now time for Ardbeg fans to find out. This is a full-blown dram where Ardbeg's exalted balance has been disrupted in the most fantastic of ways. A truly captivating dram." Okay, first off, this has no color. It looks
straw.
Like
straw. Sauvignon Blanc.
No, looks like you're drinking water.
It has
it's
no color.
Clear.
I would disagree with you.
It's not straw.
It's clear.
It has straw.
It's clear.
Put it back on the white paper background.
It's clear. So on the nose, you get a really light smoke. You get this little light campfire smoke.
Tiny.
It's a light smoke. I'm expecting this big smoke bomb and things. Now on the palate, this is like sitting around a campfire, drinking the campfire smoke as you're sitting back away from it and eating some s'mores. It's just, you expect that it's a very light, it's very light to it, that you're going to go back and you're going to have this remembrance the next day as you go and you smell your clothes in the hamper and they're going to smell like a light campfire. And that's what you kind of reminds me of. I think it's a hit. I actually like it.
I was like that.
Oh my God, I was like expecting this thing to
His
be
nose
like this
is growing.
And now every bottle of Heavy Vapors in the United States was bought within a 5-minute period because Brent actually liked one.
And his nose is growing as we speak, like just like Pinocchio.
What do you think, Justin?
This is exceptional. They call it Heavy Vapors, but it's actually perfectly balanced. It is a great, clear spirit. It actually tastes like really good peated whiskey and not all the weird that I had when I was a child. Buy this. It's really good.
So it's the thing is, it's Heavy Vapors. So it smells light, but it tastes heavy.
I don't know that it tastes heavy. I mean, it's brightness to it.
It's anise and burnt spices. But on the palate, it's rich and mouth coating, and I love it. It's crazy good. And the finish goes on forever. It blows my mind. Maury, you got anything for this?
No, I don't really have much to add. I think you guys have said it. I think they did a really nice job with it. It's great. It's fantastic, and it's great.
All right. Well, we're going to be rating the Ardbeg Heavy Vapors a well-deserved 4 sips.
It deserves 5. You are wrong.
I didn't vote
there's people at this table. I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
bringing down the scores. Yeah.
So, well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-hosts for joining us. Thank you, Brent.
I said good things about the Arbeg. You can unlock me now, right?
You're allowed to go home now, Brent.
All right. Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another spectacular day in the damp, dark, drippy basement.
And thank you, Justin.
Usually December is amazing. We have the best whiskeys of the year. This year, it just keeps on going.
And thank you, Arm.
Thank you, Bob. What a great beginning of 2024. Really yeah, appreciate
this doesn't stink. Well, for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. Thank you for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey. Didn't have to do that today at all. So,
yabba dabba, dooza.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.